This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolene Marx.
Shalom, Rolene. Hello, how are you?
Shalom, and I guess I can say Shavua Tov, because it is kind of a Shavua Tov. It's the start of the new week chatting to you guys on Chai FM, and I'm very well, and yourself?
No, we are supremely well, thank you. But we want to know about Bahrain, Chad, and the Czech Republic and diplomatic relations with Israel.
Well, really, something quite extraordinary is happening, and Netanyahu has said it himself today that there is something happening in the world. He says, we are definitely opening up the world. Israel is enjoying unprecedented diplomatic flourishing, including in the Arab world and the Muslim world. And this comes in the back of an unannounced, a surprise visit by the president of Chad, Idriss Deby, who arrived in Israel last night and has met with both Netanyahu and President Rivlin, and has prompted a discussion whether or not we will be establishing formal ties with Chad, which is very, very significant for us because Chad is a Muslim-majority country, yeah, in Africa, and it is quite extraordinary to see how Israel and Africa, how relations between us and the African continent are really, really warming up. And Netanyahu has also said that he could possibly pay a reciprocal visit to Chad and bring with him Israeli entrepreneurs, experts, and business people. And no sooner had he said this, but he also mentioned that he would like to look at ties with other countries, other African countries who are Muslim majority countries, like the Sudan, like Mali and Niger. Now, I would presume that when he's talking about Sudan, he's talking about South Sudan. But these are Muslim majority countries, and it would be quite extraordinary for the state of Israel. And coupled with this, we have a visit by Czech Republic President Miloš Zeman. He also arrived. He has addressed our Knesset today. He's here as the first leg of moving the Czech embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This will be the first European Union country to do so. And, you know, he did raise a little bit of controversy because he was talking to President Rivlin about the possibility of a two-state versus a one-state. And he said, well, we can't expect any kind of state in Gaza because that is run by a terror entity. But, you know, would a one-state solution be the solution? He says, you know, any big idea always comes with this kind of discussion. And making it a hat trick, Israel is working very, very hard to normalize ties with Bahrain. And this would certainly open up the Arab world to Israel. And it shows you how alliances in the Middle East are shifting and how we're seeing an axis form, those who are supportive of Saudi, of Israel, of the United States, and those who are supportive of Iran, and those supportive of Iran being increasingly sidelined. So it looks like relations between Israel and the Muslim and Arab world, and definitely Africa, are really, really warming up significantly.
Isn't it interesting, Rolene, that in view of what's happening, if one sort of superimposes upon that the approach of South Africa, it just seems like it doesn't make sense. You've got Muslim countries. Anyway.
You're totally correct, but I think, you know, we understand that unfortunately South African discourse or certain elements within the government have been hijacked by the BDS movement, and I hope that as they see that the world continuously opens up to Israel, and especially the know-how that Israel brings to the African continent. You know, a couple of weeks ago I interviewed the former ambassador to Senegal and ex-South Africa, Ambassador Paul Hirsch, and we were talking about Israel in Senegal and that part of Africa. And he said, you know, these are countries that they're not interested in politics. They're interested in what they can learn from Israel. The narrative of Israel and the Jewish people certainly mirrors that of greater Africa. And it saddens me tremendously, but hopefully we will see, you know, a change in the future with the South African government. And I think there was a great start to it last night at the conference with the Board of Deputies, with President Ramaphosa addressing the community. But I think that, when they see that the world, and especially the Arab world, who we've historically had no relations with, are opening up more and more, South Africa, I would presume, as the most thriving economy in Africa, would want to be there. Not only that, as South Africa, with our past of being able to move from our most darkest and painful moments in history to a democracy, South Africa would want to play a role in brokering some kind of peace in the Middle East between Israel and her neighbors. But unfortunately, the more that South Africa takes a biased stance against the state of Israel, the less of a role South Africa has to play in these relationships.
Yeah, 100%. Moving on to another issue, Rolene. Beverly Hills urges boycott of Airbnb. Must have read that headline some time ago, and I wondered, who? Beverly Hills? What Beverly Hills? The municipality? Well, what does it mean?
We have to look at Beverly Hills is actually a city council. Okay. In the States, you've got councils within cities. So Beverly Hills, which has its own city council, have unanimously passed a resolution condemning Airbnb's decision to remove listings of rentals in Israeli settlements in the Judea and Samaria. And they've actually have come up with a counter boycott of Airbnb. And the resolution, which passed last week, has this in its terminology. It says hatred, prejudice, ignorance, and hypocrisy, and that Airbnb's actions are anti-ethical to the values that we hold dear in Beverly Hills, and prejudice and discrimination based on religion have no place in our community, country, and world. And what is very interesting at the moment is that there is a case pending in the Jerusalem courts, where we have about 200, I forget the word, I've gone blank for a second, but we have at least 200 complainants saying that it's not about politics and it's not about anti-Semitism. Rather, it is about not complying with Israeli laws that state that you cannot discriminate against people based on where they live. Class action suit, that's it. I knew it would come to me eventually. But there is a class action that has been filed. momentary brain failure.
There you go.
So we have that, and it's also Airbnb contravenes American legislation, which clearly states that, first of all, they are anti any kind of boycott of the state of Israel, and also has this in their legislation that you cannot discriminate against a group of people based on the area they live. So it's going to be interesting to see how Airbnb respond to this. Apparently, they are receiving up to about 100 emails per hour of people complaining and criticizing them for this move. And, you know, the issue is not whether they have chosen to not list in a conflict zone. The issue is that they are listing in one conflict zone compared to the many, many others around the world that they could also focus on. Northern Cyprus is one example. Russia is another example. But instead choosing to focus specifically on areas which some countries, including Australia, consider disputed and not occupied territory.
So I think that's the point, isn't it? Had they been uniform in their approach, or had they used the same approach in respect of all disputed territories worldwide, well, then maybe the debate would be somewhat different. But the fact that they haven't puts them in an invidious kind of position, I think.
Exactly. And rumor has it that these are only apartments that are owned by Jews. These are Jewish-owned apartments. And that is anti-Semitic, to say the least. However, when filing these suits, anti-Semitism hasn't been used as a factor. It has been used more as a discriminatory and not political or anti-Semitic in nature.
Rolene, we have Yoni weighing in on the discussion, asking, do we know the status of the South African ambassador in Israel? Are you up to date with the goings on?
I am up to date with the goings on. And if this is the same Yoni who requested a Hebrew word every day, I'm going to say that our ambassador, our Shagrir, very quietly returned to Israel. There was some backtracking from Durka, saying that he's returned for personal reasons. But as far as we know, he has quietly returned to Israel. And more than that, we don't know. We've quietly gone about our business as he has. And so far, all is calm and all is well. But Yoni, your Hebrew word of the day is shagrir. Shagrir is ambassador.
Horrible word with all those rashes in it. Very difficult word for South Africans.
Very difficult one for South Africans to say.
Rolene.
Oh, listen, imagine how hard it is for Americans to say chala or achakach.
Do they struggle with a ch?
Yes. I mean, we could say thank goodness that we have so many wonderful languages in South Africa that have prepared us for the very, very guttural ch.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. It does. It does. And then finally, Rolene, because I don't know, today we got time, which is great. International Day of the Elimination of Violence Against Women. What is Israel's record?
Well, we have to discuss it. I think it's very, very important. Yesterday was the International Day of Elimination of Violence Against Women. And, you know, because it fell on a Sunday, which is not a working day for South Africans, you know, it didn't get the a discussion on radio that it warrants. But it very much is marked in Israel. We are concerned, especially over the last couple of months, with rising levels of domestic violence in the country. Now, women's organizations took to the streets in Tel Aviv yesterday to protest this and to say that a lot more must be done to prevent violence against women. And I just want to focus for a moment on the work of WITSO, the Women's International Zionist Organization, who not only have battered women's shelters in the country, but also run the only two hotlines for men in Israel. This is quite exceptional. These hotlines are there for men who may feel that they are about to act out violently and want to prevent it. It is a preventative step that has been taken by the organization and its workers who are social workers, psychologists, and it has been found to be quite effective. And, I just want to say that it's quite extraordinary to see this happen, and hopefully this will, play its role in getting men to kind of check themselves before they commit any kind of act of violence. Mm. And I've just had a request coming in from somebody who wants to know what yalla means. And, you know, I know that we're running out of time and we're going to have to say yalla bye.
Yalla bye, yes. We've
so
done
to
yalla.
Put it in context, and just for you, Austin, yalla. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Cheers, Rolene. Thank you very much.